You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Carla Fox back to the show. Carla has spent many years as a shamanic practitioner in the Peruvian traditions. She has trained other practitioners in the United States and abroad in the shamanic traditions and energy healing, and currently maintains her practice in Southwest Colorado. In March 2012, through the Monroe Institute, she discovered a new protocol which she calls quantum sphere healing. It has become the main healing modality that she uses with her clients. Carla's focus of service has now shifted to the quantum realms, higher dimensions, and alternate realities where so much more can be seen, known, and worked with during a healing session. In addition to offering quantum sphere healing sessions, she also gives workshops where anyone can learn how to use this new healing protocol. You can find Carla on her websites at www.quantumstargate.com and definitely catch her blog at www.thecarlafoxblog.blogspot.com. So let's welcome Carla back to the show now. Hi, Carla. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm fine. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, I love having you back. And, of course, Timothy J. Glenn just loves hearing what you have to say.
Oh,
so I do keep up on your blog because you have a very unique perspective on the energies and what's going on, and your travels are incredible. So I'm just going to kind of turn the show over to you, and I just read your recent blog again, and it's just such interesting work that you do, and I'm going to let you take over the show.
Okay.
You can.
Thanks.
It's yours.
Okay. Well, you know, I thought we would chat about the interesting energy that people are experiencing lately. And, of course, I've written a couple of posts on that. I did a Rise Multiversity workshop in February on shadow work. And it seemed like after I gave that workshop, I was getting reports from people all over the place because what this new energy is doing is, first of all, it's kind of churning things behind the scenes, agitating and churning, which means that a lot of stuff is coming up for people. And, you know, this has been going on, I'm sure, at least 6 months, and some people report that they've been feeling this for longer than that, but it just really came to my attention starting in February. Yeah. So.
Well, I can see that going on myself and also in my own life. So just when you think, you know, you've peeled away the last layer of the onion, there are more onion tears to shed.
That's right. And, you know, dealing with the number of clients that I deal with and then my launching group and other people I'm in touch with, I kind of can collect information from a number of sources.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are, well, one interesting thing that's happened just in the past, like a week or 2 weeks, is I've had several people contact me for sessions that I hadn't talked to for 2-3 years, and one of them that I'm going to be working with, I hadn't worked with her in 8 years.
Mm.
So, people who I've worked with previously are coming back because they're needing work because of what's going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's this chaotic energy, and in the one post I wrote called Incoming.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I tracked that, and our whole group was kind of tapping into that energy. And but again, you know, we're dealing with energy here, and we each have to run it through our own filters and perhaps put our own interpretation or labels on it, but it really looks like a wave or the leading edge of an expansion of a huge bubble is heading our way, and it's not just our planet, it's the whole solar system.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, numerous people have confirmed that, and I remember when I started thinking about this myself, I had a kind of egocentric view about it, that it was planet Earth and the local planets, and since then I've realized that, no, this is not. This is cosmic and universal.
Yes. And I think we're due for a massive resetting. Now, what that will look like, I don't know. I really feel, and I felt this way for quite a while, that the human race is only temporary on this planet. And that,
yes.
It's possible that with the chemtrails and the weather stuff going on, that the planet is being terraformed for a different kind of race of beings, too.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now what the time frame on this is, who knows?
Right.
But it, you know, another thing I wanted to mention too, because we went through another acceleration period back when the whole Mayan calendar thing was going on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So around 2011 to 2013, we went through another acceleration, but it felt totally different from this one. That one was more of an internal expansion and the vibration of the Earth going up. So it was internally generated, perhaps being amplified by some external forces. But this one we're dealing with now feels very external to me. As if something is being sent our way, some
external stimulus. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Which is stirring up all the inner stuff that's going on with people.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that could be a number of different things, and there was an author that wrote a book on that, and I will have to try to remember the name of that before the end of the show, but he ties in all the various spiritual aspects over the many thousands of years, and it's has to do with the dual pyramids or the dual the dual energies that are coming, that are incoming.
Yeah. Yes.
And that this is a common thing that happens every so many hundreds of thousands or millions of years.
Yeah. Well, and we had a huge Earth-wide catastrophe at the end of the last ice age, too.
Oh, right.
I've been reading Graham Hancock's book, Magicians of the Gods, and he details all the research on that, the scientific research. We were hit by fragments of a comet, which melted a huge amount of the ice sheet up in Canada, right across the border. And set large amounts of the United States, what is now the United States, on fire. And so we were coming out of the ice age when the comet hit, and because of the smoke from the fires and the water from the steam from the comet hitting the ice sheet, it threw us back into a sudden rapid ice age that lasted 1,200 years. And wiped out, of course, the woolly mammoth, all the large mammals, wiped out the Clovis people. And so we could have something like that coming along. I don't know.
It's possible. I just thought of the name of the book. It's called The Pillar of Celestial Fire by Robert Cox.
Okay, I've not heard of that one.
Yes, it's for those who are interested, it's quite a powerful read, and he's done a lot of esoteric research on it, so I think that's the only book he's ever written. But pretty much talks about how that works, and it's very interesting to read.
Mm-hmm.
So go on with what you were saying.
Okay, Larry. Oh, you're just coasting along tonight, aren't you, Lance?
Well, yes, I try once in a while because I know you have so much to say, and I don't want to be the one to take up the space.
Well, but I always appreciate good questions too. But for those the listeners who are on Tom Kenyon's email list, and that's tomkenyon.com, he used to send out a lot of messages, mm-hmm. and he's really cut back on those the last few years. Well, we had one that came through the 17th of March called Destabilization.
Yes, that was a good one.
Oh, it was very good. And he talked about a couple of aspects of what's going on. One of them is the changes in the Earth's magnetic field. Well, our magnetic field has been weakening for years already. And lately I've been hearing a lot about the increase in cosmic rays coming mm-hmm. in. Now, cosmic, who knows how far out this stuff comes from, but it might have something to do with what I wrote in the incoming post about this wave headed this way. But when the magnetic field goes down, everything external, including solar flares, all of that stuff, can get into us much easier because we don't have the protection of the magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was talking about dimensional alterations. Oh my gosh, I think the dimensions are warping, too.
They could, yes, and some people claim that they're collapsing into a one.
Okay.
Which,
if people can conceive of any number of these things, they all exist.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
Yeah. But
right.
then he talked about people's nervous systems destabilizing. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of the terrorism and the violence dealing with the, back and forth with police and that kind of a thing. I think people are just starting to lose it.
Yes. Yes, that does seem to be happening. And another friend of mine, Lucia Renee, just put out an interesting video on the Ascension Game Changer, and she mentions that she looked into the collective energy and that one of the problems with people, with raising the vibration on the planet, is that the bulk of the collective is still not desiring to do that. And so she talks about that in her video, and I posted that on my Facebook page and in my news page, and you can subscribe to that or, friend me or whatever. And it's under Lance White, not Zany Mystic. So I post all of that stuff on my news page, so you can find it there. But it's really an excellent video.
Yeah, so that tells us a lot of people are tuning into this in a variety of ways.
Right, right.
And I mean, the explanations may be all a little bit different, but I think we're all tapping into the same energy.
I do, too. I do,
and
too.
So
it's kind of
it,
like the elephant... The blind man and the elephant analogy.
Right, right. Yeah, I think so. And each person's experience may be totally different anyhow.
Exactly, exactly.
And so one person may perceive they're ascending. Another person may perceive that they are going to die and go to another planet. Who knows?
Right, right. Well, you just described leaving... going through fourth and fifth, and there's a great divide there, which George Kabasalis talks about quite a bit.
Yes.
And maybe you can describe that experience and some of the travels that you've had personally.
Okay. Well, that's the key, because the fourth dimension really does hold not only the synthetic matrix, but polarity. And as long as we're dealing with polarity, and I tell you, just lately in the last month, I have felt the energy drain that's required to deal with polarity.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always, a this and a that, a black and a white.
Yes.
You make this choice or that. And it's exhausting.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Oh, and I've really been feeling that. And it makes it hard for a person to just be.
Yes.
Because there's always a choice or, you know, something to deal with. But so that's the first goal. And the last RISE workshop I did, that would be part six, we took that whole journey from physicality all the way through the exit point of the universe. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to go that way, but that's what I've been led to map out, at least for myself. And the goal with that is to get everybody out of the fourth dimension. I mean, that's the big deal here as far as I can see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and, now, when you talk about the fifth dimension being the location of the matrix and polarity, what about all the New Age people who are being led to believe that that is the final destination, that they are they're going into that?
Yeah,
you know, I've never bought into that myself. I always wondered, well, why not the 7th or the 12th or beyond the matrix?
Right. That, I think, is a residue of the old teachings.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
We thought that was the pinnacle, you know,
yep.
To go to the fifth dimension.
Right, right. It was a big thing at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like bell-bottom pants and long hair was in the 60s.
Well, I'll go to the fifth dimension and wear bell-bottom pants. I like that.
When the moon, da-da-da-da-da-da, and Aquarius.
Well, I think it's just a matter of people not being informed.
Yes.
And just because that's where they think they're going to end up may not mean that's where they're going to end up.
Right.
Because the goal is to have enough clarity and lightness of being and drop that baggage so that and be conscious at the moment of death so you can pretty much direct yourself to that great void or that membrane and pierce it and go through. Some people may stop there at the fifth dimension. I think people are going to take little detours all along the way. And in future workshops, I may lead some journeys where we'll hover in one place or another place. But I thought it was very important at least to describe and energetically lead people through all the way to exit out of the universe.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's important that we have people that are doing what you're doing to show us that it is possible and to open the space of intention for it.
Yeah, and to make the map. And so that's why I call what I do mapping. You know, it's like turning a dirt path into a, you know, two-lane road for a horse-drawn carriage. And then they put in a little gravel there, and then it becomes a two-lane highway, then a four-lane highway. The more people that take the map, the bigger that route is going to get.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see that also when it comes time for people to leave here. In whatever way they do, you may have, who knows, 100 maps of how to get off of the earth and out of this reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in your last journey, you talked about the Great Void in the fourth and fifth dimensions,
mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
Going on and through the Stargate Milky Way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Would you care to elaborate on that journey? Because I think people do need to hear this.
Okay, yeah. In fact, I had a conversation with a friend about that today. So a lot of that was mapped out when I did my classes at the Monroe Institute, and I've just kind of expanded it and enhanced it. But when you go into the center of the Milky Way, you are not going into a black hole. You're going into a stargate.
Mm.
And at first, when I started going up that way, it really felt like I was being sucked into a black hole. But I think that's just a lower dimensional sense of what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's ninth dimensional. What happens there is something that I never expected, but what happens up there is all your experiences get harvested from you. So it's like a big chemistry lab going on up there, and they're testing things and changing things and manipulating things, because that is the center of the Milky Way is a huge feminine birthing center. And so for that energy to evolve and progress, the Milky Way, which is feminine, has to gather the information from the people coming back through and adjust it and modulate it and then install it into the people who are on their way down.
Right.
So it's a hugely complicated business that's going on up there. Yeah.
Right.
But what was very, and that may be unique as far as galaxies go, and of course there's billions of galaxies out there. You know, George has said that ours is the only one that's doing this particular thing. I can't verify that.
Right.
But it's like we're in this grand scientific experiment. And so when we go back on our final trip out of here, back through the center of the Milky Way, the scientists, so to speak, there evaluate our experiences. And you know, reformulate. Eventually, everything from that ninth dimension on down will get resorbed and sucked back into the center of the Milky Way, and this reality will no longer be here. But what happens after that then? So you go in there, and it's like you're going through a big car wash. That's what it felt like to me the first time I went through. And you pop out the backside. Now, one thing I didn't say in that workshop was that when you pop out, you're 10th dimensional. And if you turn around and look at where you came from, in other words, the Stargate you popped out of, you won't see it anymore. That Stargate, it closes up.
Yes.
And you're just looking at a field of stars and galaxies. Now, for the people who are incoming, who have just entered the universe and are dropping down in vibration, that Stargate opens up on the backside for them to enter. But if you're done, there's no going back.
Well, you can wave goodbye.
Yeah.
And say, oh, you made a big mistake.
Oh,
don't go there. Oh, no.
Well, you know, and then at that point, everyone pops out on that backside, and we've all been scrubbed clean.
Right.
And so then the energy bodies start merging into bigger conglomerates of energy fields. So that's when you get this really nice group consciousness. And the friend I spoke to today was asking about how, you know, do we lose our individuality? Are we do we forget totally?
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, we kind of do, but at that point, we are vibrational energy fields merging in this joyful state with others that are just like us. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. And after I experienced that, I realized, well, yeah, this is how it's got to be, because we, you know, we think we're here getting experiences and we're going to take every little nugget of that experience all the way back to source. But when you think of how that feels, it's a very heavy feeling.
Mm-hmm,
you know, if you're taking all the, even though they're experiences, you're taking it all with you and gathering more and more as you go back up there. And to return to source, I think we need to lighten up and drop as much baggage as we possibly can.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the experience is used in some fashion somewhere along the way, but
right.
We personally don't drag it all back with us all the way back.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like trying to take your material possessions with you after you die.
Yeah. So, you know, getting back to, and so that what I'm describing there, that's kind of the ideal, and people can go to Rise Multiversity and purchase that Part 6 workshop. They're reasonable. They're only $20, and I guide everyone through this whole journey that I described. But in the meantime, we have to deal with what's going on here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, it's up to each individual to stabilize themselves as best as they can and drop as much baggage. Even though it doesn't sound like it's going to be a very pleasant thing, we can also use the incoming energy to our advantage. So we can use that energy to basically blast stuff out of us. To create something new, quite often the old needs to be destroyed back to its basic elements before the new thing can be created, and I really think that's what we're going through here.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that is, in essence, the what transformation is.
Yes.
It's that moment of call it purification or by fire or, you know, there's a lot of different names for it, but basically it's the transformation of the lower into the higher. And so
yeah.
There has to be a willingness to look at and bring up the lower or the shadow side, the shadow work that you talk about.
Yeah.
And then process it and release it so that, and sometimes that may be in a moment, like a lightning bolt, and it just gets
mm-hmm.
zapped.
Mm-hmm.
But it is happening, and
yeah.
I think that we'll become so uncomfortable if we don't do that, that we will be forced to do something, whatever that is.
Yeah. And so the goal is to make use of this energy and not cave in. Go with the flow and just dump, you know, whatever needs to be dumped.
Mm-hmm.
And use it to be propelled forward. And that's where, after I did that workshop in February on the shadow work, it started to feel like our shadow was literally being forced up to the conscious.
It is.
Yeah.
The unconscious. Yes, the unconscious aspects are being, we're shedding light from the conscious side. And the
yeah.
unconscious part is where we are controlled, and where we can be controlled and manipulated into making agreements that we are unconscious of. So by bringing that shadow side into the light of consciousness, we become fully conscious beings.
Yeah, that's key. And so it may mean that, at least for a lot of people, that they will end up at least fifth dimensionally or higher, and they'll be out of polarity, because that's the polarity is what's caused the conscious versus unconscious. That's
mm-hmm.
also a polarity.
Yep.
You know, when we drop down into the fourth dimensional arena, a lot of splitting and shattering happened. So we not only split into conscious, subconscious, unconscious. Parts of us went into the synthetic
right.
matrix, too, at that point.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And
so,
all kinds of astral entities.
Yeah, and so we have been, in a sense, living life in this arena, not whole, in a whole bunch of ways.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, and so those buried parts are coming up. And you see that in the world situation. You know, not only financially, terrorist-wise, my gosh, all the violence. Look at the political scene going on. We've never seen anything like what's going on now in the United States.
No, and the funny thing is, I thought for some reason that the drama of politics would have come to an end by now when people realize the truth about that whole situation and that it would have dissolved. But apparently it's got a little bit of a run left in it.
A little bit of a run, I think so.
You know, in the scheme of things, maybe who knows how many more years they've got, but, you know, if people are still asleep and buying into it, then it's going to continue, so...
Well, and the politicians are the mirrors for
yep.
the disowned shadow pieces of the population.
Yep.
And if we allow ourselves to own those hidden nasty bits, the politicians wouldn't be carrying on the way they are now.
Right, right. You know,
they're just our mirror.
Right, absolutely. Everything is a mirror.
Yeah. Although, and I think Tom Kenyon said this in his message, I think we've hit a point of no return also.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can, I don't think we're at a point anymore where we can pull out of what's going on. But part of it is because of this external energy force that's heading our way. That's being directed in some other manner. And so we just have to allow it to happen and do the best.
Right, right.
You know, and being grounded. Year after year, as I've done my healing work, the situation is getting worse and worse. I continue to have clients whose foundation in life is very unstable. And, you know, each time I think I've seen a very difficult case, I get somebody else that's even worse than that. And that all goes back to conception and in the womb and birth circumstances. And that's where people need healing, although that is also what we call the pre-verbal years.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
That all the trauma and whatever that may be is buried deeply for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a normal birth, I mean, imagine being this little tiny, you know, baby body being squeezed through a birth canal. That's no fun. And so that's all been buried. So people with weak grounding who are kind of on the edge, teetering on the edge, they're not going to do well with what's going on.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, so it's up to each person's responsibility to take care of their own business, I guess. That's the best way of putting it. And certainly the workshops I've been doing for RISE, if people go through all of them, they get guided meditations and a lot of teachings and foundational work, and that can be a big help to people.
Do you also have some workshops or some videos or recordings on shadow work as well?
That would be the Part 5 workshop through RISE was on shadow, yeah.
Because it would seem like that would be really recommended to at least start there, if
mm-hmm.
not before there,
mm-hmm.
To get a proper grounding in this.
Yeah, and I go through the whole teaching because shadow work, because it's buried in the unconscious, we cannot dig it out directly. There are our indirect ways of accessing the shadow. And if one really gets the hang of doing that, and I give all that whole explanation and a couple journeys in that workshop, you can work your way through a lot of stuff. And what I talked about in that workshop was using mirrors and projections.
Oh, right, right.
So mirror, what's in your face? If you have three people in a row that are angry at you, that means they're mirroring to you your inner anger, even if you may not feel that way or consciously feel that way.
Right, right.
Yeah, and projections, it's wherever you point the finger.
Yep.
So yep. It takes a bit of finesse, but I always say that recognizing the issue in that manner is about 85% of working your way through it. The other 15% may be just some kind of process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, do something with it. Once you realize what's going on, do something with it. And I tell people, even if you don't think you're that way, own it anyhow, because it's in your face for a reason.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we see our role models, the politicians, pointing the fingers at each other. It's just getting worse and worse, I tell you. Oh, my gosh.
Well, now, I did see some research on the seven Essene mirrors, which they used to walk between worlds. And I think Greg Braden kind of summed it up in a video, the seven
uh-huh.
Essene mirrors. So they used that technique also, and there were different levels of processing what you and I are talking about.
Yes, yes. Yeah, there are, you know, other than what I'm talking about, there are other ways of doing it. And, of course, then going to a practitioner, that's my job, is to see the person's shadow and work with it and bring it out. I really got into that work, of course, with my shamanic practice, because that's all about the shadow.
Oh, right.
And I've continued that with the quantum sphere healing. So if there's something a person knows is going on, but they can't quite put their finger on it, it helps to have a qualified practitioner to work with them, because that person can usually see it when the client can't see it in themselves.
Yeah.
So that workshop, part five was on shadow work, and then the part six was the journey all the way through the exit point to the universe. And I don't think I mentioned this during that workshop, but once I popped out of the, it's another stargate at the top of the 12th dimension where you exit the universe, and I turned around and that stargate had closed up too.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that if you're meant to go all the way, there'll be no going back, because those access points, those stargates, will be closed up, and you won't be able to find them.
Mm-hmm. And you probably wouldn't want to.
No, you wouldn't want to. You wouldn't want to.
Didn't you hear some advice when you left the universe the final time, that the portal or door would be shut to you permanently and you would not be able to return?
It was verbal. It was a verbal instruction, yes.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yep. But that's only if you're going from the bottom up and you're complete. When you're coming down, when you're entering, of course those doorways all open up, and so that you can drop down in vibration and through the dimensions.
Right.
Yeah. So who knows? Again, people may, when their time comes and the Earth Mother is ready to leave, I know a lot of people will be leaving with her, merging with her.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole other group of people, Operation Terra. I'm sure you've heard of them, right, Lance?
Well, yes, I know Liara. Well, she's not called Liara anymore, but she and I were good friends for many years.
Yeah, and so their deal is they're the group that's going to be taken up in spaceships.
Right.
Yeah, and they're going to wait. In fact, she just sent out, what was it, about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, what she calls her final message. And then she let her website go dormant. She didn't renew the service or the domain name, whatever it was. And that last message said that their departure is imminent also. But their whole deal is go up in the ships, wait till the chaos calms down, and then come back down onto a fourth-dimensional version of Earth.
Yes, well, that certainly is one of many possibilities.
It is, yes.
And I thought that it was interesting that you brought back some of the energy from where you were, and that others that were with you could feel it.
Yes. You know, that's the advantage to having the same group here doing our launching. And for those who are listening who haven't read the blog, what we do when we are launching, we sit in a circle with one person in the center, and each person needs to have an intent for their launching. The person who is being launched breathes in and out and expands their fifth-dimensional core essence. And when they've got it nicely expanded, the rest of the group kind of grabs that core essence and sends it up. In other words, expands it even further. And we have a timer. The person who's being launched requests a certain number of minutes, and then we hold the space, and the person does their journey. And the beauty of having the same group doing it repeatedly is that and it wasn't this way in the beginning. In the beginning, we each pretty much took our own individual journeys, and they didn't tie in much. But I would say in the last year or so, we're bringing back pieces of a puzzle, and so we're able to create a bigger understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
when I did the last launching, I got all the way up to source, what I call source, and when I came down, that connection stayed intact, and it was like I was coming down in this large tube of this kind of golden molasses stuff.
Mm.
And when I got back, my consciousness got back into my body, it felt like almost like a nuclear explosion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and everybody wow. in the group kind of got whacked.
Pleasantly whacked, no doubt.
Yes, yes, and they could feel it. So we do a certain amount of tracking of the person who goes on their journey.
Wow.
And so everyone has the benefit from everyone's journey.
Well, tell us, because everybody would love to hear this, what does the energy of source feel like?
Yeah, very interesting. At least the source that I could access.
Right.
It was a golden energy, but it was almost like floating in a void. But, of course, your traditional void is very dark, but no direction,
mm-hmm.
no light in the void. But the source was this nice, mellow, another one of the people here called it butterscotch colored.
Mm.
But there's no thought, there's no intent, there's no goal, there's no desire to do anything. And yet it's a much more safe and enveloping energy than, and of course I've visited voids many times, which are a little bit on the creepy side, you know, because it's dark,
right.
You're floating there, and you don't know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. It was very pleasant, but I could tell as soon as you applied a thought, then you started moving and exiting the source to manifest or create whatever that thought was thinking about.
Wow.
It was really pretty cool.
So it really could be of great value to have an ability to work with our thoughts, because our thoughts will create the intention,
yes.
which take us out of the higher vibration.
Yeah, and the higher dimension or vibration where you are, your thought carries so much more power, too.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You know, instantaneous.
What were your experiences or feelings about a higher self? Would that just be the source?
You mean what we call our higher self, traditionally?
Yes.
That's pretty much the fifth dimensional part of us.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as we pierce that great void, we unite with our higher self.
Ah, okay.
And then again, your vibration raises, you expand, and you just go on from there to become a greater and greater being, and then a conglomerate of beings as you proceed upwards.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds wonderful to me, and it could be a great place for us to segue because we're just about out of time.
Oh, oh dear.
We have just enough time for you to share just another tidbit,
okay.
if you like, and also information on your site and the rest of it. So, I just want to thank you for coming back. I just love your show. I love being with you on the show, and you're one of my favorite people to have on the air.
Well, and of course, anytime, it's my pleasure to be on with you. The tidbit for people is take responsibility, be in your body, don't engage in the chaos, but allow it to push stuff out of you and, you know, release. But the main thing is take care of your own baggage, be in your body, and be grounded.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
It's basic, but it's the first step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And listen to your inner guidance as far as where you need to go and what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
People can get to all my stuff on quantumstargate.com. There is a link to my blog there, and I recommend everybody sign up to get the blog regularly because that's the first place I will post something. And most of what we've talked about tonight I have written about in the blog. So you can sign up to get that in your email. And then my workshops on Rise Multiversity. And, of course, I've written a book that has tons of helpful information on how to work through your stuff. And contact me for a healing session. If you hit something you absolutely can't punch your way through, that's why I'm here, is to help you.
And I have to say that your book is one of the very best that I've read, because it just gets directly to the point, and it's a wonderful, wonderful guidebook for just about anybody. And you know, if you need a refresher on the basics, or you're just starting this new, it's a terrific book, and that's called Traversing the Infinite Now. Is that correct?
Yes.
It's a wonderful book.
In fact, I'm reworking my product page on my website, and I'm my job tomorrow is put some PayPal links up there, so it'll make
it
good.
Easier for people. Wonderful.
If I can wade my way through that one.
Oh, I know. That's going to be a big chore.
Well,
well, Carla, welcome to Planet Earth and the 3D. Thank you for being with us tonight, and I just love having you here, and keep up the incredible travels.
All right, and you, if I experience it, you'll hear about it.
Okay, wonderful. All right, good night, Carla, and good night, everybody.
Thanks a lot, Lance. Bye-bye.
All right, it's my pleasure.